Good evening, and welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba.
Our guest this evening is Jens Ingvard Hansen, renowned Danish-born contemporary sculptor, working mainly in bronze and granite. Jens was raised in the small Danish village of Tussing, studied art in high school, trained in the Aarhus School of Architecture with well-known Danish sculptors such as Siren West.
Jens' works have been exhibited in numerous national and international solo and group shows in such cities as London, Singapore, and Copenhagen. He has received numerous awards for his artwork and has designed commercial sculptures for a variety of major corporations, such as his first large-scale bronze piece entitled Worldwide Widex, commissioned in 2010 for the entry of the new corporate headquarters of Widex in Denmark, one of the world's largest manufacturers of hearing aids. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. Your sculptural designs are very captivating, with a smooth-flowing, rhythmic style that has been highly acclaimed over the course of your career. Can you tell us about your background training and what drew you to art and sculpture?
I'm really a self-made sculptor, and I didn't start with art and sculptures. But when I was a child and when I grew up, I had an interest for art and pictures, and I liked very much to draw, which I still do today. But I became a toolmaker after primary school. I knew already when I finished that education that it was probably not what I should do the rest of my life, but I didn't know what to do. But it was a very important education for me, because when you are a toolmaker, you learn to handle materials, you learn to make production, you learn how to process different materials. And today it's very important for me with this education. After I became a toolmaker, I went to high school, and that was because I thought I should something else. And after the high school, I found out there was a Danish folk high school where they worked with art and crafts. And I went there and was there nearly a year, and I draw a lot. I make paintings, and I made some furniture and also ceramic. And in the end of this school year, I decided to start at the architect school in Aarhus. I was there 2 years, and I left the school after 2 years without a degree, because I didn't really see myself as an architect. But today I can say these 2 years was maybe some of the most important in my life, because I learned to use my sketching technique to make forms and shapes. And I learned a lot about making projects. And I will say much of what I learned on the architectural school is what I use today, because when I have a customer, I have to show a customer how a sculpture will be. It's necessary to show something, because sometimes it's a lot of money if it's a big sculpture, and it's very important to show what the customer gets. And that's why it's so important this year I had there on the architectural school. And it's funny, when I look back at this time, I started to use sketchbooks when I was on architectural school. I draw everything, but I started to draw sculptures there. But I just thought it was shapes and forms, but my sculpture started there. But it was years after I have stopped the architectural studio, I started to make sculptures. So there's a lot of coincidences in my life, but I think today I'm happy with what I'm doing, and I have done everything in small steps. I told you about my bad English. I haven't stayed a lot abroad, but I think now when my kids are growing up, there will be more time to spend in different countries. I really like to go to some residencies. And my wife, she is a second year PhD candidate, and she also have to travel a lot.
Can you describe how you began that sculpture for the company that you were telling me about?
It started with a small sculpture. I've had a small exhibition on the company. They have kind of art club. I don't know if you have something in Canada. Many companies in Denmark, they have art clubs. They invite artists to make an exhibition 1 month and they buy something. And I started there. From the very beginning, I made, I think, 20 small sculptures, and I bought a digital camera and laser printer. And I made a very primitive folder with pictures, and I started to send them out to companies around Denmark. And I got a lot of exhibitions from the beginning, people that really liked my sculptures, and I also sold them. And I have had an exhibition on this company, Vedex, and they have seen my sculptures there, and of course they bought some sculptures. And shortly after that, they contacted me because they needed a gift for their companions and business relations and so on. So they asked me, can you make a sculpture that we can use as a gift for different kind of relations? And then I started to draw a sculpture and the company's logo, a W with a sound wave. And I put it together with something like two ears. And then I got a form which looks like a heart connected with this sound wave or this W. And I repeated this form four times in something like a ball. And then I end up with a sculpture with four sound waves connected of ears. This is symbolic. It's not very, I normally work non-figurative, and it's also a non-figurative sculpture, but it's the symbols in the sculpture. And what is important is the associations the sculpture gives people who look at the sculpture. And the chairman in the company, his finance director, decided that this sculpture was just what they needed. And I started to make smaller sculptures like that. And one day I was in the company, they asked me, could we also make a big sculpture? Because they were building a new building and they had talked about that they should have something there. And they were so glad for this small sculpture that they thought it was a good idea to make a bigger. And they asked me, could you make this as a bigger sculpture? And of course I said yes. But it was the first meeting, nothing happens after that. But next time I met them, they asked me once again, what material could we make this sculpture in and how big should it be if we should have it in a special place in this company? And we were talking a little about it. And shortly after this, I got an email from the director and he asked me what the price could be for a sculpture like this in bronze. And we have decided that the height was more than 2 meters. And then I started to find out the price and everything. And it was a very expensive sculpture. I didn't know it was so expensive to make a bronze sculpture in this size. It's about 1,000 kilos bronze inside the sculpture, and it was very expensive. So I visited the company and told them the price and looked a little at each other. But they had asked me about different things about the price and how long it would take to make it. So then they decided that I should make the sculpture. And it was fantastic. At this moment, I only made small sculptures, and it was fantastic to get this huge sculpture. And it took nearly a year to make it. But they were satisfied with all the process, and I would deliver the sculpture on the right date, and it was perfect, everything. So I'm very happy for this sculpture because it was really the beginning of my professional career.
Can you tell us a little about how you made the piece? Did you have a foundry at the time?
I decided the foundry must be in Denmark this time because I was not sure about the process. And there are two foundries in Denmark who are professionals and can make sculpture in this size. And both of them, they gave me a prize for the work. And I decided to use that one who could make the largest pieces, because when you make a very big sculpture, you have to weld it together. And it was important to me that there were so few weldings as possible. And therefore, I decided that they could make the sculpture. In the beginning, I had the idea because, as I told, I started with a small sculpture. And after I had to make it big, I hired a designer who could draw it into a computer program, Rhino. So he drew it into this computer app, and then we could work with the scale of the sculpture. The first thing I did after we had the computer apps was to make a plug in a big milling machine, plastic foam, EPS, XPS, insulation. I started with this plug after I got this big piece. It's the natural size, 2 meters in diameter. Then I had to put something on the surface and print it all over, and it took about 3 months because the surface of the sculpture is 16 square meters. So it's quite big, and I had to make it all small steps, you know, all over. And after 3 months, it was ready for the foundry. Then it came to the foundry. They started to make a mold. And after that, they make big pieces of wax. And again, when all these pieces was ready, they cast the sculptures. It was cast in 8 big molds. And after the casting, it was welded together. And then there was a lot to do with finish and printing and so on. The last day they had to work on the sculpture, there were 6 men who was working on the surface of the sculpture. But it was delivered at the right time. So it was a bit scary in the end, but there's a lot of work in a sculpture like this. Really, there's really a lot.
It was your first large-scale sculpture, right?
Yes, yes it was.
So how did that help you to continue in your art practice, and what did you learn from this sculpture?
I think I learned a lot because it's a kind of project, and there's a lot of small pieces you have to put together. And you're the one who is at the end. You have to control everything. It helped me also in that way that a lot of people, of course, see this sculpture. And sometimes a big sculpture can sell a small sculpture. So sometimes people, they have seen this sculpture and they contact me and maybe they want to see other sculptures and maybe they buy a small sculpture. But it gave me also money enough to establish my own foundry. So it was important. I also made another big sculpture for some of the money because I thought it was a good idea to have a big sculpture beside my studio. I continued to try to find out which companies had these small art clubs and exhibited everywhere where I could. And sometimes people saw this big sculpture in my printed material and they say, wow, what a sculpture. And so I actually sell a lot of sculptures. Since 2004, I have sold more than 2,000 sculptures. Of course, most of them are small sculptures. I have always had this idea that it's important that there are sculptures for all people. And therefore, I have always had small sculptures in my exhibition because very often it's those sculptures sold. And the big sculptures, you never sell them in an exhibition. Yes, maybe you do at MoMA or Tate Gallery, but I'm based here in Denmark. And I have started totally from scratch, and not many artists say this, I say here, but it's important you get some money, because if you don't get money, then you can't make anything. So I had to see it in this way. It was important to have some sculptures that I could sell. But today it's much more often I sell big sculptures. Just a few days ago, there was a pair who came to me and they wanted a big sculpture. They wanted this day, they will die. They want this sculpture standing on the graveyard. It's a very special way, but people are very different and the customers are very different.
Well, it gives people an idea of a lot of different ways they can approach people for commissions. And it's good advice for somebody who's starting out on their career.
Yes, I think there's one more important thing where I am working different than many of the other sculptures. I just work with very few art galleries because if you sell in an art gallery, you have to put a lot of your money there. And if you just sell one sculpture yourself, then you have much more money to make printed material or make a good website or anything else. So my whole career, I sell more than 90% of my sculptures myself. I think many customers, they like very much to meet the artist and not just meet the artist. They really like to come in my studio and see how do you do all those things because I make everything there. It's just here for the last few years I have started outsource. I have found a very good workshop in China. They're extremely skilled and until now they have made 3 big projects and they have done everything and they follow the sculptures to my workshop and deliver it there. It's very nice to have a collaboration like that. I think they are very skilled. I'm surprised because here in Denmark we all think we are the best to everything. I think around the world there are a lot of skilled people. I have followed this workshop for years. 2 years ago, I got a big project and I asked them, can you make this? And you have a very short deadline. Can you make it to this deadline. And they said, yes, we can. We started and everything was just so fine. I still make a lot of sculptures on my workshop.
And a little bit about the ideas behind your sculptures that are not necessarily a commission. You grew up in a very small village, beautiful surroundings and landscapes and waterways. Does that have an influence on some of your work and how you design your sculptures?
Yes, I think it has influenced my work because I grew up on an island and there's a lot of water, beaches and so on. And if you walk along a beach, then you got different elements meeting. You got the water, you got the beach, you got the landscape behind. And they can be quite different, but they're put together and you don't even have to think about it. They're just put together and gives you a picture. I think many of my sculptures, there are some elements of the same. I put different things together and I can take a piece of bronze and put it on a stone. I can take different pieces of bronze and put them together and so on. And I also work a lot with the surfaces. If you cut over a tree, then you got the wood piece and one side you got the bark and the other side you got the cut surface. And I use this in many of my sculpture surfaces. I grew up on the countryside and yes, my parents, they had a farm and we cut some trees and everything and I saw it all. And I think today, many of those experiences they are put into my sculptures.
And many of your sculptures are circular. Can you tell us a little about that?
If I only could make one sculpture in my life, I would make a sphere. It's a basic shape form. And I have worked a lot with this shape because there are so many things in it. I think it's difficult for me to put words on it, but I got a sculpture, I call it Wheel of Life. And yes, I can show it here. I got one here. It's one of them. I have made it in different materials, in different sizes. And Wheel of Life is one of my, I would say, basic sculptures. I love this form. Many years ago, I saw in a Danish medieval church, there was a fresco. And this fresco, it was a wheel. People, they were jumping into the wheel at one side and they come up to the top and at the other side, they fell off. You can see the whole life in one picture. It's a simple. But what is more important is the wheel. You live and you die, but the wheel is still turning and life is endless. And I think it's a very beautiful image. And if you take my sculpture, take a look at it. I call it Wheel of Life.
It's beautiful.
It's endless. Thank you.
And it has a beautiful rhythm to it, as well as it's very textured.
Yes.
And how do you decide on the texture? Does it take another element from nature?
When I make a sculpture, I always think about what is happening at the end when I finish the sculpture. For example, if I need to use a kind of patina on the bronze, and also how, if it is a bronze, how do you put it on a base like this one? And how should the base look? And which surfaces should be grinded? Which surfaces should be rough? And I put it all together. But I always had this end picture in my head. I really like if there's harmony in a sculpture. My sculptures are, of course, a story, but it's also up to you. It gives you some associations and you can put your own story into it.
Can you tell us about some of the other sculptures that you do and how you chose to do those forms?
Yes, I have one of them here. It's a bronze sculpture. It's made by small pieces, I think about 120 small pieces put together. And I have made this in various sizes and also in various materials. I have made some in stone, like this one in bronze. It's very difficult to cast this sculpture because I made all the small pieces of plastic and then I glue them together. And after that, I prepare it for casting. And as you can see, there's a lot of small details in this sculpture. And you have to be very skilled to make a sculpture like that. But the idea in this sculpture is that you have a very small piece. It's the sculpture itself. And then you can put it together and make new sculptures. And then I can make a lot of sculptures with the same little brick. It's like Lego bricks. Lego is from Denmark. It came to me years ago. I had an exhibition. I thought it would be fun to come with 100 small sculptures and place it on the floor. And I started to make these simple sculptures. And when I made them, I cut them out with the diamond saw. When I make them, I put them together. And then I saw these sculptures should be exhibited in a kind of form where I put them together. And I have worked a lot with sculptures we can put together. I also have some other standing here. I show them. It's also bronze, small houses. I call them for open house. But you can put them together in different ways. And you can take a lot of them and put them together and make some very funny sculptures. They are very new, these, but I work a lot with that at this moment, just an example.
Did your three-year-old son give you any ideas for that?
He likes those sculptures very much.
He must have a lot of fun putting those together.
Yes, and he loves to come to my studio, and he's a very, what shall I say, we have a Danish word, lively.
Have you ever been approached or considered doing a piece for any of the sculpture parks so that you could do a large piece and do something outdoors?
I have never made a sculpture for a sculpture park in that way, but you have asked me about another sculpture, the Windrose, and it's made for a town in the western part of Denmark. And my customer, he owns the biggest real estate company here in Denmark, and he's born and he grew up in this town, Varde. And I made another project for him, and when I finished that project, he asked me to make a big sculpture to Varde. And he donated this sculpture to the town. Originally, he wants a bronze sculpture, but for many years, I have had this feeling that it could be very fun to make a stainless steel sculpture. A sculpture I have seen with this mirror polished surface. For many years ago, I was in Australia. I saw some of them with the Canberra Art Gallery. I asked him if it was a good idea to make a mirror polished sculpture, and he said, yes, this was okay. And then I started to work with this project. And it was one of the sculptures I have had made in China on this factory. And it was so fantastic when it comes to my workshop. And there was 200 kilos of iron around I must cut off with an angle grinder. And it took the whole day to get the sculpture out. And then at the end, when the sculpture comes out, it was so fantastic. It was standing at my workshop or my studio in 4 or 5 months. And people who came there, they were so surprised of this enormous sculpture. But today it's placed in the town Varde, in a new space in the town where there's a lot of place around it. People there are very glad for this sculpture. It's so nice.
Do you have any interesting projects coming up that you're looking forward to working on?
I think this year, 2020, nearly everything has been cancelled. And 2021, I have a lot of smaller exhibitions. But 2022, I have a very big exhibition. It's my biggest exhibition until now. I have to, outside sculptures, there's also an art hall where I have to exhibit smaller pieces. Also in this town, Varde, they have invited me to make an exhibition in the town. So all the town will contain my sculptures. I'm very excited because it's very demanding job to make all those sculptures and to put them there and so on. But it's my job.
I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and your valuable insight with us. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much. It was also a pleasure for me.
I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.
Thank you for listening to Art World Innovators this year, and I hope you've enjoyed our shows. I will be off for the next 2 weeks and back in January of 2021. I'd like to wish you all the very best for the holiday season and a very happy new year. And I would like to leave you with a song by a Spanish musician who I had the pleasure of hearing live in a small Barcelona bar a number of years ago. His name is Javi Jareño, and the song is Ahogo from one of his first albums.